Okay, RRC 3265. Now I have enough slides to go till the end of lunch, maybe a little longer, but we do have to surrender the room at 10:30, so I'm going to try to keep it kind of brief, and hopefully I don't have to actually go through all of them. Going on to the first one. Hop in with the changes since the 0.0 version, based on feedback that came out pretty quickly for that. We changed the behavior when the notifier can't generate notify messages with the content type. I'm sorry, didn't change it. We clarified it with the content type indicated in the subscribe. And this is, it does need a little bit of clarification because if you look at technically the way that the accept header field is instructed, it's talking about what comes back in responses, which is not necessarily saying anything about what can come back in subsequent requests, which subscribe technically, so which notify technically is. So we just wanted to make sure that this was absolutely clear to implementers because we actually had some feedback that it was a little bit confusing. We changed the timer name to avoid a collision. We clarified the route establishment and record route behavior. Explained some implications of the state polling when the state isn't local to the notifier, notably that you're not going to get any. And then added information about targeting dialogues with subscription requests. Basically, because you used to be able to say, I'm sending this request in dialogue, and that means it is talking about this dialogue, and we're now deprecating that behavior, you have to have a way to say, this subscription is about that dialogue over there. And we don't normatively say how to do this. We point out, here are some standardized mechanisms to do it, and you can roll your own, kind of like this other thing over here did. And then finally, I made a minor update to Table 2, and we'll go over all the Table 2 mess on Friday. Okay. So, this is an open issue. I just want to make sure I wave it in front of the group. We're not actually going to talk about this today because we tried talking about it in Stockholm, and it's clear that what we're down to here is not fundamental philosophical differences about how this should be handled as much as very carefully crafting the language that satisfies everyone. So I posted some text on the list that I propose addresses this issue in a backwards compatible fashion and also addresses the implementation problems that we have seen at SIPPETS. And I encourage everyone to go out, read the text, comment on it. We actually got one comment fairly recently that I intend to incorporate. But if there's no other mailing list discussion, then the next version of the document is basically going to take the text I put on the list, modulo the comment we already got, and that will be it. So, kind of a last call on this topic. Anyone really has strong opinions on this, please send email. Thanks. Next. Allow events and templates. Right. So this is another thing that I reposted to the list. And basically the proposal, based on the conversation, it was actually just a dialogue between me and Robert in Stockholm, was that we're going to say, we're not going to advertise these things. If you're interested in finding out whether you support a particular template, keeping in mind there's only one after 10 years, then you can probe for it. And that seems reasonable under the circumstances. If no one speaks up, that's what's going to go into the document when we publish it. Again, take it to the mailing list if you're interested, or if you have a comment right now, go ahead. Okay. Sorry? The problem we're fixing for this is that with allow events, you're supposed to list all of the event packages you support. But it's not clear in the existing, in 3265, how you're supposed to handle things when you support an event template, right? So if I support WinFo and I have my allow events thing, do I say allow events and just have WinFo by itself? Or do I say, okay, well, I support WinFo for presence, so I say presence.winfo, and then everything else that I have WinFo that I can support, I kind of tack it on. And there are issues with doing it either way. The first is you're not communicating, like, policy of how these can be combined. Then the second way, you end up with a combinatorial explosion of these things, especially if we ever come up with a second template.
Keith Strage. The problem I have is that for all these things, what I'm looking for is essentially what is broken and how fundamentally broken it is in terms of interoperability problems.
And it's nebulous, and it's, for that,
yeah, but nebulous doesn't say it's fundamentally broken. That's the problem. What we're doing here is updating something that's already out there in the field, and we should be addressing everything in the context of a compatibility discussion with the previous version based on the degree of error that actually exists in terms of something actually stops working.
Right. And I've tried to get information about what actually has been deployed in the field, or at least what's been brought to SIPPETS. And apparently that information is not as readily available as we'd like. We certainly can, you know, send Robert off to Stockholm to say specifically check for what people who support WinFo are doing here. But it's my impression from previous discussions that by and large people generally just omit this.
They're probing.
They're broken, okay. So if you want, take your concerns to the list. Possibly Robert can expand on that. If you want, we can, like I said, wait until after the SIPPET before we come to a final agreement on this particular issue. But by and large, the problem is no matter which angle you take it, there's not a really good solution that anyone has proposed so far. If someone wants to come up with a specific proposal. But leaving it nebulous is the worst of all worlds in this particular case.
But I think that Keith's point that we don't want to academically change some piece of the protocol just for no good reason is a valid point. I don't think we are anywhere in this document right now, but it's worth paying attention to as we're moving along. We don't want to suddenly strand existing implementations.
Right. So. And it's in the case that we've made fundamental changes to the protocol, we've been very careful to incorporate backwards compatibility mechanisms so that everything that's out there right now continues to work. Okay. Ah, okay. So timer N and resubscribes. So the discussion here is mostly me and James. And the way that I read the most recent interaction that we've had on the mailing list is that he's pretty much okay with timer N expiration during a resubscribe being treated the same way as it is during initial subscribe. Basically, it's being treated the same as any other transaction timeout would in the middle of this, which effectively tears the subscription down. Now, we do need to add some text in there that basically clarifies the interaction between this and, like, rate control, where, you know, you might be able to, wait, not rate control, e-tags, where you might be able to send something and basically get a subscribe response back that says the document has not changed. And under those circumstances, if you're using e-tags, you're not going to get a notify, so you don't run this timer. But it's really straightforward stuff and almost intuitive. It just should be explicit in the document. So unless there's further mailing list discussion on this particular topic, this is what's going to go ahead and live in there when we publish it.
Does this affect 5057?
No. In fact, the document references 5057 in several places to say this is kind of how all of this is handled. But in this particular case, because 5057 is only talking about responses, and this really is a new thing. This is a timer between transactions. The advice in 5057 does not apply. I mean, it's a good point that we need to clarify it's tearing down the subscription, and if there happen to be other usages in there for whatever reason, like you're working with a legacy client, then it doesn't tear down the dialogue, only the subscription. But that needs to be part of that clarifying.
If we got a new timer, I suspect 5057 doesn't mention it at all.
That's right. All right. So those were the things that I wanted to make sure. Those are the actual, here are the things that I have had marked as an open issue. We've tried to get some discussion going on them. And if there's no other discussion, I'm considering them closed issues, and I'll be putting out an O2 that takes them in the directions that I've indicated on these slides.
Chris Terholmer, one question I raised, I'm not really sure whether it's related to this previous timer issue or where you say here rationalist dialog creation, but one question which comes from the implementation community is that what is the state when you receive the, whether it's going to be 200 or 202, because as the draft says now we create the subscription dialogue or dialogue usages when we get the notify.
That's right.
But what is the state between this 200 and the notify? Is that kind of a early dialogue, pre-dialogue, whatever, and for how long am I going to stay in that state? For how long am I going to wait for this notify? What if it never comes? What happens then?
That's what Timerend is for. That is why we added Timerend.
Okay.
Timerend supervises the period between the response to the subscribe and the arrival of the notify.
Yeah.
And it's set to a normal transaction time, basically, 64 T1, or about 32 seconds.
Great. And also, have you checked that it doesn't violate the dialogue usage RFC? Because, again, we don't create the dialogue usage until actually we get the notify.
You mean the 5057, the multiple usages in a dialogue?
Yes, yes. Because if that RFC says the subscription dialogue usage is created when we get the... I don't know if it does. I didn't have time to check it.
It only talks about when dialogues go away. It has no text that actually talks about when dialogues are created.
Okay.
Now, like I said, I have enough slides to go until lunch is over. And there are changes that are in this document that are non-trivial between what was in 3265 and what will be in the next events RFC, unless people talk about them. And I'm surprised at the lack of comments on this, because I doubt I got everything perfect. So I'd like to hear more about these things. I'm going to go ahead and step through a few of them. And as a warning, we will go through all these slides if there's not comments on them when we're in Maastricht. Go ahead and hit the next one. So, this is just almost a visual of how many things have changed. And I would expect comments on probably most of them at some level. We have a 303 also. Next slide. Thanks. And then let's go ahead and go on to the actual issues. So this part, I went ahead and grouped together the things that didn't necessarily have bugs open on them first. They tend to be somewhat more complex structural changes to the document, as opposed to little nits about words being in the wrong place. So let's go ahead and go on to the first one of these. So we've clarified the handling of route and record route in notify. Specifically, we've given very strong guidance about if a proxy wants to see everything, then it must add record route to any initial subscribe request and all notify requests. And it also can include this in subsequent subscribe messages if he doesn't want to keep track of whether it's a dialogue creating one or something in the middle, or doesn't want to have to bother with that logic. Nothing is harmed. But of course, just like what we do with invite, once this route is established, it can't be changed. So putting the record route in there changes nothing. It just harms nothing. The underlined text is the new stuff. Okay. We've also eliminated implicit subscriptions. It's, as we learned with refer, this wasn't really the most semantically clean thing to do, because it's very difficult when you're doing two things with a single action to determine that one has succeeded and the other has failed. You basically have to do them atomically, and with this kind of transaction, that wasn't necessarily possible. So basically what we've said is notifiers must not create subscriptions except upon receipt of subscribe message. We've taken implicit subscriptions out altogether. We're grandfathering in refer, 3515, but I really hope that if we ever do a BIS on refer, we'll go ahead and take this out and split the subscription up completely. I'm boggled also. Okay. Next. So we've also deprecated dialogue reuse. One of the things that's been very hard, and one of the things that actually prompted the creation of RFC 5057 that talks about the way that certain transaction failures impact usages and dialogues, is that we kind of at the last minute, when we were publishing the suite of 3261 through 3265, added text around, well, you can have subscribes and invites in the same dialogue, and they sort of live independent lives except for routes and targets. And it's a big tangled mess, especially determining what survives when something goes wrong. So what we're doing with the BIS draft is that we're saying, don't do this anymore. The only things that were really ever allowed, the only usages that were ever allowed in the same dialogue were invite and subscribe, but they're only usages that we have. So by moving them out in 3065 BIS, we're basically taking that problem completely off the table, and hopefully we'll never have to worry about it again.
Question?
Sorry?
Question?
Yes.
From me? what's this do to backward compatibility?
Ah, and that's the first bullet here. So we actually did retain all of the dialogue reuse text, and we moved it into a section that is, I hope, clearly enough, but I think fairly clearly marked as this is only here for interoperability with older implementations. Specifically, we have some rules in there about if you see that the other end is a newer implementation, then you shall not use dialogue reuse. You're going to go ahead and do an out-of-dialogue thing and target the specific device if you need to with a GRU. Which takes us to the second point here. So in order to make all of that happen, in order to actually take things out of the dialogue, do you want to speak up first?
Actually, before you jump into that foxhole, I want to ask everybody to think through implementations they know of, not specifications that they know of. I haven't seen anybody do this, but I want to get a wider, cast a wider net to see if it exists. Is anybody aware of an implementation that has chosen to reuse a subscription dialogue for another subscription of a different kind? For example, establishing a dialogue using the dialogue event package, and inside that same dialogue, setting up a KPML or whatever subscription, anything else besides dialogue. I don't think there are any, but if you know of any, please flag it early.
I suspect where you would see that sort of thing is more likely that you'd have like a present subscription paired with a reg event subscription, but again, I haven't seen implementation of that.
Yeah, and early on we saw present subscriptions. You'd see a present subscription this way, and somebody would try to subscribe the other direction, but that's all been weeded out of the implementation based on my knowledge.
Okay. All right, so where we're going with this is the current BIS draft says the way that we untangle this complicated knot is that 3265 BIS notifiers are required to use GRU as their local contact. Now, in general, this is not much of a constraint for any of your server-based notifiers, because they're usually going to be servers out on the big I internet, or at least fully routable from their clients, with a static IP address and a name in DNS. And so what that means is that they can create self-made GRUs, which basically means you take what you normally would have used, and for this kind of usage, you just slap a GR on the end of it, and it's a GRU, because it's always going to route to you. Now, what we've added to make sure that people don't fall back into the dialogue reuse accidentally is we say subscribers, if they see this GR, have to use it as their remote target. They can't do dialogue reuse. They do a new dialogue, and if they want it to land on the same device, they use that. And we also, as I mentioned earlier, added some advisory text that talks about how event packages can reference existing dialogues, and they need to say, I'm subscribing to some aspect of this dialogue. So dialogue event package is kind of the canonical example of that. But there are other reasons you might want to talk about a dialogue in a subscription. I expected lines out the door. Is anyone paying attention?
Yeah.
Okay, I like thumbs up. Great. This is in there. This is staying in there. Excellent.
Krista Holm, just, I think we did discuss this before, but what about refer? Are we going to say anything about refer at all? Because regarding the dialogue reusage, I can't point to whether there are implementations or not. But in theory, there could also be dialogue reusage with refer initiated subscriptions.
So that is technically a subscribe usage, even though it's created by
refer.
It is,
yes.
So which reuse are you talking about? Are we talking about we have like an invite session going on, we're sending a refer down that same?
For example, yes.
Okay, that's no longer allowed. That's explicitly one of the things that we're not allowing anymore. If the far end supports GRU under that circumstance and is using it in its contact, Robert wants to
be careful with what you're saying.
Okay.
You're not going to suddenly say existing deployed devices are now out of compliance with 32 with SIP events.
Absolutely not. And that's what this first bullet is all about.
Right. There and is, I think that's kind of what Christer was poking at.
Okay. No, the existing stuff is going to remain compliant. It's we're not even saying, you know, when you're interoperating with something, this is some sort of deprecated mode of operation. The only things that we're changing is if everyone does what's in the draft, then you'll end up not reusing dialogues, right? If the subscriber and the notifier are both 3265 bits, you won't end up with any dialogue reuse. If either end is one of the old style ones and someone has to do something that would have traditionally required dialogue reuse, then you end up reusing the dialogue.
And this, I think, is a forcing function, and it's something that the group needs to be comfortable with, but I believe that this is a forcing function on new implementations to implement transfer using out of dialogue refers.
Right.
It's a forcing function to get people to implement GRU.
Although, by and large, that's going to be a very easy thing if you're doing it just for this purpose. There are much better reasons to implement GRU, and doing it in, you know, a general fashion where you're an ephemeral client actually getting one from a registrar. I don't think this is going to drive that. I would be tickled if it did, but I think there will probably be other use cases to get us there. Okay, let's go ahead and go to the next one here. So, as Christopher alluded to earlier, one of the other relatively big changes is that we made dialogue creation much more simple. Previously, whenever you sent a subscribe out, you would either create a dialogue when the first notifier arrived or when a 200 arrived. And in many forking proxy cases, you would end up with situations where, actually not even forking proxy, just proxies that don't necessarily record route, you'd end up with situations where the notifier was arriving first, which is why we had it this way. Turns out this causes confusion because the 200 that comes back is not necessarily going to correspond to the first notify that shows up, and there's just too much optionality here that has caused implementation difficulty. So what we've done is that we've said the 200, all it's really doing is closing off the transaction. It has no impact on the dialogue creation state. The dialogue is created when your first notify shows up, which is kind of good because we've also seen situations where you can get responses back and the notifies aren't actually ever going to show up because of odd firewall issues. So it guarantees that the thing sending you notifies at least is something that can get notifies to you. This is a lot easier to implement from a subscriber perspective, and it doesn't have any impact on notifiers or proxies. So it's really a simplification for the internal dialogue machinery on the subscriber side with effectively no wire impacts. Do you want to say something?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. What about refer in this case? You previously said that we have deprecated implicit subscription, but I guess
with the exception of refer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we still have it for refer.
Right.
But then for refer, when is the dialogue created there? Is it when I get the 202 for the refer, or do we have the same rules there that I'm actually going to wait for the notify until the dialogue is created?
That's a good question. My initial reaction would be that we're going to wait for the notify, but we probably want to sit down and analyze that more carefully to make sure that doesn't cause problems.
I think it always had to be the notify.
With the dialogue creation?
Yeah, especially no refer sub wouldn't work otherwise.
That's true.
But I guess then the question is, we don't need to answer that now, but the question is, do we need to update also the refer RFC? Hopefully not, but I guess we need to look into that.
I would want to avoid doing that.
Hi, Todd Real Kaplan. I apologize. I really haven't been following this stuff very much. But what does this mean to me, that the dialogue creation moves from the 200 to the notify?
What does it mean to you? Probably nothing. You don't write subscribers. You're
all right. I'll take it offline. Just as a B2B way, right? Where there's dialogue creation actually occurring there. I just want to understand exactly what you mean by changing this to me. So,
actually, no, there are some subtle impacts, and that is, if you want to track which dialogue actually ends up being created, you have to look at the notifies, ignore the 200s as they come in.
Okay.
So. In practice, it's probably no or very little change as far as intermediaries are concerned.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Also, this was structural, not technical, but one of the items of feedback that we received from the implementation community was, if I'm just going out there and doing a subscriber, you know, I'm not sending notifications, don't really care about that half of the machinery, I just want to know what I need to do to implement my stuff, I have to hop around the document, because you talk about how to handle notifies, and you talk about how subscribers do that, and how notifiers do that, and how proxies care about it, and then you go and talk about how we do subscribes, and I have to find all of my individual sections. So there was a little bit of refactoring here, where we took all of the behaviors associated with subscribers and put them in one area, all the behaviors associated with notifiers and put them in one area, and then we have sort of a common section about what everyone must do when they're playing this game. So that's, like I said, just a big structural issue, but this doesn't have any technical impacts, although you probably want to read through it and give me editorial feedback about whether the current breakdown makes sense and, you know, whether I've made things better or worse. So I would certainly appreciate comments along those lines. Okay? We also added some text that basically clarified the responsibilities of event packages. And almost everyone who came to write an event package actually got this right. Occasionally we'd get someone who came along who was a little bit confused about what they actually needed to do to create an event package. So we added some text that basically said that when you're defining an event package, you must have sections that identify all of the issues in, is it section 8? There's one of the sections that basically says, here's what event packages have to do. We made it very clear. You have to address these. And you're best off if you go ahead and address them in sections with these names and in this order so that when someone comes to review your event package, they'll be able to very easily check them off without having to go seek out whether you've addressed this properly. So this underlined text is new. Okay. We made cancel handling more explicit. The 3265 basically says cancels don't apply, which apparently was not particularly useful because people interpreted that in a wide variety of ways. So we made this absolutely explicit. Subscribe and notify can't be canceled. If you get a cancel, answer the cancel, but it doesn't affect subscribe or notify. Also, don't send cancels. And this last thing is basically that's restating a normative statement from 3261, but people were apparently kind of missing it. So this is a lot clearer. It's not really a change. It's what was implied by the previous text, but it's instead of having people read between the lines, we've spelled out explicitly, because this doesn't apply, here's the implications that you can derive from 3261. Okay? And then I think this is the last big non-bug related change. When I say bug, I mean bugs in the tracker. We removed the term state agent. We didn't actually change any behavior here. But when we very first did 3065, there was sort of an assumption that we were going to have a lot of cases where you would have a subscription land on some device, an end user device, and then that device would have to go offline, so he would take actions to make sure the subscription were migrated to something more permanently in the network. And then when he came back online, they would all collaborate to move things back on to an endpoint. And this thing that was acting on behalf of the user was defined as a state agent. And we thought that would be useful terminology in particular for event packages to have in a dictionary somewhere so they could talk about it. Now, in practice, subscription migration is effectively unheard of. I don't know of any implementations that do this. Still think it's kind of a neat idea, but it's not actually done. And to exacerbate matters, almost all event packages that came along would get this terminology confused. In fact, in many cases, they would get it exactly backwards. You had things that came along that relied on static servers in the network that were not directly under the control of user agents. They were, users' terminals. They were sort of serving as state agents for them. They were state agents. But you'd have these event packages that say, we don't use state agents. And I'd read through them as like, no, without state agents, you have nothing. You use state agents exclusively. And so there was so much confusion around this, we wanted to take it out. But all of the behaviors that you need to implement this, things like state aggregation, state migration, and all of that, they're still in the draft. We just talk about them in terms of behaviors as opposed to a defined node type. So this is gone. I think it's a vast improvement, actually. All right? Yeah, and that's it. And for this resolution of reported bugs, I'm not going to drag you through this time, but if you want to go to bugsippet.net, it actually lists all of them, and if you press down several times just kind of slowly so people get an idea of what all of these look like, I don't want to have to go through these. So if I could have people at least come and list and say, yeah, I've looked at these, and they all look good to me, or I think we should change this one in this way, then we don't have to step through those individually in Maastricht. You have 4 months. And with that, I think we're probably done with the meeting. Does anyone have anything else they want to talk about, subscribe, notify?